privilege to be back with you again this year, and we are with the Victory Baptist Press. Dee and I travel full-time on the road, telling about what we do in printing Bibles for missionaries and ministries around the world. They've been doing it for about 35 years, and we've been on the road now for about six of those. We're hardly ever at home. Already been in about 25 states, I'm not even sure, this year, and getting ready to head out to Arizona before long, and just got a lot still yet to do this year because we need a lot more paper. And last year, you folks were very interested in what we were doing. I showed you a video, and I'm not going to do that today, but we're talking about these large rolls of paper. They weigh about 1,400 pounds. They sell for $1,150 a roll. And one roll will print about 800 Bibles. And in the last year, we've put Bibles in the Philippines. We've put them in Uganda, the Sudan, South Africa, Rwanda, a lot of different places around the country. We've done the King James Bible, just finished a truckload of Bibles for that. And we're getting ready to start on the Spanish Bible again. And we're going to put that, God willing, into nine Spanish-speaking countries in South America. And so you pray for us as Victory Baptist Press continues to print the Bibles free of charge. And that's why people like Dee and I are on the road. We make no bones about it. We're trying to always get folk to invest in paper so that we can print those Bibles. And when the missionary calls, we've never in 35 years charged a dime for a scripture that we've dispensed. And that's because people like you have given to purchase that paper. I want to ask you to turn with me this morning to the book of Esther. The book of Esther. Let me grab my water here this morning. The book of Esther, chapter number 4, if you would please. Now, it always pays to hear a fat guy preach because he's always thinking about lunch. And I know the time, I'm very conscious of that. If you'll give me to around about 15 after, I'll get us out of here. We can go eat, amen? But I say that because we do think about those things. And but of course, the preaching of God's word is important. And thank you for this opportunity. In Ezra chapter number 4, we come to a story. Let me lay the foundation and then I'll read the verses if you would please. There's a young Jewish girl. She is a young virgin. And she has suddenly found herself married to a king in Babylon. Of course, the Babylonians have come and taken the people of Israel off into captivity. And they're in what we'd call Iraq, Iran today, Persia, that area. And she is sitting on the throne, just married to the king. She did not have a mother and father earlier in her life. She lost them some way. And there was a man by the name of Mordecai that had raised her. And Mordecai was living out there basically on the streets. And here she sits on the throne. Well, there's a man that has a tremendous racial hatred for the Jewish people. His name is Haman. And Haman, you know, works his wiles on the king and convinces him that the Jewish people are bad and that everybody in the kingdom that is a Jew on a certain date, he gets the king to pass a decree that they're going to have to die. They're going to be slain. They're going to be martyred. They're going to be killed. And he connives and gets the king to subscribe to that. Well, Mordecai hears about it, and he knows that Esther is sitting on the throne married to the king. And little does most of the people in the nation know, but Esther is a Jew. And as the providence of God would have it, there's something that God is going to use this one little girl to do, and that is to save a nation. One woman who is going to make a difference by the name of Esther. And the Bible tells us in Esther chapter number 4 that Mordecai gets word to Esther what's going to happen. And verse number 10, and Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandments unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there's one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these days. She gives an excuse as to why she cannot talk to the king. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Now listen to what Mordecai says back to Esther, who can do something about it. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." And notice this phrase, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I want to preach to you for a few moments about the subject, "for such a time as this." Heavenly Father, use me, please. Give me your power. Lord, take these few minutes and certainly etch upon our hearts an understanding and an awakening to remind each and every one of us it is not by chance that we're living in the day and hour that we are. And you've placed us here where we are with what we have for such a time as this. Give me wisdom and power in Jesus' name, and I'll thank you. Amen. I want you to notice here the purpose for her existence is what Mordecai mentions to her. He says, "Thou art come." In other words, realize that you've come to where you are because God had a purpose in putting you there. Esther, God called you with a purpose in mind. And now here you find yourself with a unique ability and an opportunity to fulfill someone's destiny. Did you notice that he said, "Thou art come"? In other words, Esther, certain things, they've unfolded in your life, and they've maneuvered you into this position that you hold. Esther, you may have thought at times it had been bad, or you may have thought that it was chance, or maybe happenstance, or maybe a coincidence. But Esther, no, you've come to the kingdom with a purpose for such a time as this. Esther, nobody else has the ability to shine right now like you do. This is your opportunity. Esther, the stage has been set, and you have within your means an ability to do something that other people cannot do. Esther, did God give you this to squander the opportunity? Did He give you what you have so that you could splurge on yourself, so that you could waste it, so that you could bring glory to yourself? Esther, I've got to remind you that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this because the future of the nation and of people is riding upon you. And bear in mind, I want us to reflect upon the fact that had Esther not been faithful, the Messiah could not have come to the line and you and I would have not been saved. This was very important that this one girl took her opportunity and responded because she had come to the kingdom for such a time as that. Have you ever thought about how that God made only one you? And there's only one you that can bring to the table what God made you to bring to it. Nobody else has the talents quite like God has given them to you. Nobody else has the money that you do. Nobody has the heart that you do. In fact, you may not realize it, but you yourself that are listening to my voice this morning, thou hast come to where you are with a purpose that God had in mind. There's no substitute for anybody in this room in the eyes of God. He doesn't have a backup plan because you're very, very important. What He made you to do, individual, is very important because if you will do what you're supposed to do, you will keep some people from perishing. God has a purpose for your life. Boy, back in 1981 when I was saved out of drugs and all in Memphis, Tennessee, and my life was changed, I was born again. One thing that really pumped me up was the fact that I heard God has a plan for every saved person's life. And boy, I love the fact that God made you and I with a purpose in mind. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Has it ever dawned on you? I guarantee it's not dawned upon God, but has it ever dawned upon you that God has a purpose for you being who you are, where you are, for such a time as this that you and I are living in? The second thing I want you to notice here is the period of your inheritance. Notice he says, for such a time as this. You and I, as much as we have a purpose, our time limit for what God will use us to do, it is limited. We have a limited amount of time. Now, what is time? It's a measure of moments. And we are subject to time in this world in which we're living. Our lives are but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then, the Bible says, vanisheth away. Every one of us have heard the story, once upon a time. And I want to remind you this morning that your life is autobiography is right now being written. And the Bible says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, if you're like me, you don't like some of the things going on in this world today. And if I could have my way, I would get out of it. But guess what? God put me here for such a time as this, and it's limited. It's going to soon run out. Boy, aren't we living in a crazy time? For such a crazy time as this, God has placed us here. Man, men have lost their minds in this day and age. We're living in a world of reprobate minds. We're living in a world where men are placing bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, and they're turning everything just the opposite of what it should be. We're living in a crazy time. We're living in a cruel time, such a cruel time as this. I mean, who would have ever dreamed that shooters would walk into churches and kill people worshiping their Lord, or sit on top of buildings and pick mamas and daddies off at a parade? Who would have ever dreamed that teenagers would gang up on others and film with their phones mob killings as we see them seem like weekly on the news? We're living in a time that men are doing things to people I never dreamed. The cruelty of what you can see. We're living in a cruel time as this. We're also living in a very carnal time. Boy, you think, well, if I can just get to church, maybe things will be better. And boy, we're living in a time that churches are shuttering their doors, they're canceling their services, and church attendance is dropping. And if you get to a church, there's all kinds of scandals going on sometimes within the house of God. And boy, the world is trying to say you got to promote the LGBTQ, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and all that stuff inside your church and allow the homosexuals to teach and preach and do this sort of things, and we think, boy, it's no difference in the house of God. We're living in a very carnal, apostate time as this. We're living in a very confusing time, a time when things just don't make sense and men's trying to convince us, oh, it's the normal. When they'll get up and they'll say, hey, the economy's good. Well, not my economy, it's not. I'm living for such a time as this. We're living in a time that we're being told that a tornado is a result of a climate change. Kids having acne on their face is because of climate change. We're being told that dogs have fleas because of climate change. We're being told a man falls off a hill because of a climate change. Maybe because everything got, you know, dirt got loose and he fell off. Then I'll tell you why he fell off the hill. Because he got too blasted close to the edge is why he fell off the hill. It ain't cause of climate change and all the stuff and people we want to blame for stuff. They're telling us the Constitution's bad. They're telling us that wear a mask today. Don't wear a mask today. Take it off. Put it on. Kids, change your sex. We change the pronouns of who we are. Politically speaking, our politicians are trying to destroy our country right on our nose. And yet you and I are living in such a time as this. Such a confusing time. And I don't know about you, but I've often thought to myself, what in the world am I doing living in this time that I'm living in? I've often thought, man, I'd like to live in the Bible days. That would have been a cool time to live. During the days of the tabernacle and everything, when Moses was out there in the wilderness and God's glory could be seen. And then I read a little closer. They had a lot of serpents out there in the wilderness. That's snakes, and I don't like varmints. And oftentimes, if you didn't do right, the earth may open up and swallow you up. And it was always hot out there in the wilderness. And all they had to eat was manna. Didn't have no Big Macs and didn't have no Walmarts and places like that and malls to run off to. Didn't have no air conditioning. And the closer I look in the Bible, I begin to think, you know what? I don't think I'd like to live in the Bible. I'm glad I can get in my Ford and turn on my air conditioning, turn on my music and wear my flip-flops and go to wherever I want to. I'm glad I'm living when I'm living. And you are living for such a time as this. God made no mistakes of putting you here in this period of time that you're living in. And Mordecai told Esther, he said, now Esther, if you don't realize this, I'm going to tell you something. There's going to come a deliverance from somebody else. God will use somebody else. And I don't know about you, but in these last days, I don't want somebody else to be used in my place. I want to be used of the Lord. And he says, do you realize that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? We're from the Florida area down there, and I tell you, when you get down to Florida, everything is about a kingdom. It's about the magic kingdom and Mickey Mouse's kingdom down there. I promise down there, so much of that junk, I look up thinking the clouds are going to have ears on them sometime down there. Everything's the magic kingdom. And talking about the animal kingdom. I was driving somewhere the other day, I saw a tire place, Tire Kingdom. I was out in Oklahoma, and they had a town called Possum Kingdom out there. Everything wants a kingdom. But friend, we're living in a kingdom for such a time as this. We're living in the last days. We're living in the church age. We're living in a time that God saw fit to put you and I to live in on this earth in these last days. I've often thought when I got to heaven, when I walk up to somebody and say, hey, can I ask you something? When did you live? And they might say, well, I lived in the Middle Ages. Oh, my. And I'll say, when did you live? Oh, I lived in a time of plagues and all sorts of stuff like that. And I'd say, well, really? But I'm sure somebody would look at me and say, you lived in the last days? And you had the internet, and you had television, and you had so much access to doing something great for God, and you didn't do what with your time? You didn't have time to do what for God? And you knew in your heart that time was running out and you just continued to live your life for yourself and you didn't take no time for somebody else, knowing that God had put you where you are, given you what you have for such a time as this. Let me tell you something. We Americans are going to give account to God one day for all that He's given to us. For to whom much is given, much is going to be required. God has given to us a lot, and we act as if we deserve it or not. There's so many people without that have so many needs in these last days. This kingdom, you are setting exactly where God wants you to be setting. You have exactly what you're supposed to have for the kingdom time such as this. Now, what is the kingdom's mission? Well, I will remind you briefly, the kingdom's mission is clear. It is, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our mission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I'm a part of a great commission that Jesus Christ dispensed to those last day Christians and the Christians living throughout the last 2,000 years. And here's the mission. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. And as a Christian, I am duty bound to be a part of fulfilling that great commission in some way. And if I'm not, whether it's soul winning or giving to missions through my church or trying to take the means that God's blessed me with and dispense it in a way that others can be reached and their lives can be spared, much like that as to what Esther did in her days of which she's living, God expects you and I to recognize that He left us here for that reason. One day somebody walked up to the armor, used to be a company called the Armor Meat Packing Company. And they walked up to the owner and they asked him, what did he do for a living? He said, I win people to Christ for a living, but I make my living potting meat and stuff like that. And I take what's given to me and I use it for the glory of God. Have you ever recognized that God left you here and gave to you what He gave to you, not that you could sit on a nest egg and boast about what you've done for you in your life, but so you could recognize there is a great commission that I'm to be a part of fulfilling. There's a great mission. There's a great ministry. You know what that ministry is? God has in His ministry around the world a thing that we know what they are. The man sang about it earlier today, and we just heard about the shoebox ministry. It is a thing called missionaries. God has called certain people to certain fields of the world, special people with a special call that He places in special places to win people, to get them baptized, to build and to start churches. And many of us will never go to those places on fields afar, but it's important that we recognize that we need to be a part of the missionary's life. Now, the thing I love about our Baptist movement is that most of our churches, we know who our missionaries are. And we get to know where our missions money is going to. And we get to meet our missionaries, and we get to see somebody that can tell us where the dollars that we're investing are going to. These are people called missionaries. And when somebody like us comes by and says, hey, we're printing Bibles, and we need help, and we need you to be a part of it. We're saying, hey, we've got missionaries calling that are saying, can you give us Bibles? And we don't say, well, how much markup can we make on that? We say, people have given to us the money to buy the paper. We've printed the Bibles here. We freely give them to you. And in the last month, I've given Bibles out to men going to the Philippines and to men to go into different countries. And every one of them have said, Brother Smith, what do I owe you folks for doing this? And to look at them and say, you don't owe us a dime, because American Christians are recognizing the need to give. You go in and sit on yours and you can it up and act like there's a million years to come, but you're living in a time that is called the last days. And one day you and I are going to give an account for it. And one day God wants us to recognize in these last days that there's something He wants to use us for. And as I travel this country, I'm amazed at how many Christians are recognizing, hey, time is running out. And I've got to do something while I have the time to do it. Last year, Dee and I had our biggest year out on the road. When we came off the road the year of the pandemic, we had 18 rolls of paper. And I thought, oh, well, boy, we'll never get our goal this year. And my goal was 40 rolls. And we went back on the road Memorial Day weekend of the year of the pandemic, and we ended up with 90 rolls of paper for the year. God showed me He is not hindered by a pandemic. He is not hindered by the economy. I travel in a motorhome. We get 7 miles to a gallon in the diesel of my motorhome in which I live. You say, Brother Smith, what are you going to do if gas gets $9 a gallon? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I did when it was $2.50 a gallon. I'm going to put what I can in. I'm going to crank it. I'm going to drive. I'm going to do whatever I can to do what I've been called to do, because God's got missionaries out there that needs Bibles, and I've got to go plead with the churches, give us some money to get some Bibles, because they need help on the mission field. And God wants us to catch that burden. It's what we can do. Last year we had 156 rolls of paper. This year we've already got 70 rolls of paper while on the road. Don't you tell me American Christians don't have money today. Most churches are broke. I understand that. But most American Christians, you're sitting on money you know that you can do something with. You've got money buttonholed in different places. Boy, this is when it gets real quiet, because it starts getting in the bank account. And we got money that we say we don't have, and yes, we do. And truth of the matter is, I got money hidden. My wife's not in here. She don't even know I've got hidden somewhere. When she listens to this, she'll find it. I guarantee you that. But these are people called, we've got a mission, and we've got missionaries, and we've got a place. God wants us to recognize, to give it through our local church, to say, you know, God blessed me with that, and I got to do something with it. I was in a little church down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, about 2 years ago, and a preacher came up to me, and he said, see that little widow on the back row back there? I said, yeah, I do. He said, she just gave me her last $5. She wants to buy 2 John and Romans for missionaries on the mission field. And I said, glory to God. And right now that little widow woman, she's in a nursing home in Fort Walton Beach, and I don't have any family or anything, but boy, I was so touched by that. And I told that story, and I was in another state up in West Virginia, and this widow woman walked up to me, and she said, Brother Smith, I want to buy, the Lord's leading me to buy 2 rolls of paper. And she said, I'm not a poor widow, but I'm not a rich widow. She said, how do I do it? And I told her about the paper and what it costs and everything like that. And she said, my husband left me with some means, but I want to be wise. I don't want to be foolish. And she said, I'm just a middle-class widow. I want to buy some paper. I said, well, praise the Lord for that. I told the story in Gilbertsville, Kentucky, and this lady walked up to me. She said, boy, I love that story about that poor widow. And I said, oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, that was really touching. And she said, and in that story you told about that middle-class widow there, and she said, oh, what a blessing. She says, I'm a widow. And I said, oh, you are. And she says, but I'm a rich widow. And I said, oh, you are. And boy, my antennas went up, and I said, really? She said, how much do y'all need right now for the next truckload of paper? And I said, actually, to finish a truckload of paper, I'm not going to lie to you, we need about $5,000 to finish a truckload of paper right now. She said, I'm going to write you a check. She wrote me a check for $5,000. Now, here's what I'm saying. Poor widow, rich widow, middle-aged widow, they all got the picture that God has given me something. And with what He's blessed me with, I need to be faithful through my church with that something. I believe in giving your tithes to your church. I believe in giving to missions through your church and being faithful with what God's given to you. And if God's given you something and you know what it is, God wants you to be faithful with it for such a time as this. Now let me give you a good nugget, and I'm going to try to close this thing down. Mordecai, who told her, you better do something. I just found this about 2 weeks ago. In chapter 2, verse number 6, it tells us who Mordecai's granddaddy was. His granddaddy was a guy named Shimei. Do you remember in the Bible in Samuel who Shimei was? He was a man that came out against David one day, was throwing rocks in the air. He was cursing him out, and he was throwing rocks at David, wanting to kill him. And one of David's men said, "You want me to get off this horse and go kill him?" And I'm paraphrasing. And David says, "No, the Lord bid him to come out here against me this day. I'm not going to have his life. For some reason, this guy's meant to try me. Let him live." And God let him live. Well, I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that David didn't do something he wasn't supposed to do, because Shimei got married, he had some children, and he had some grandchildren. You know who one of his grandchildren was? Mordecai. And you know what Mordecai did? He told Esther. And Esther realized she could do something, and Esther stopped the judgment upon the nation, because each one of these people recognized, for such a time as this, there's something that I can do. When you read through your Bible, you'll find so many examples of people who recognize, you know what? I'm right where I'm supposed to be, and God wants to use me right now. I think about the lad and the fishes. They're all looking for food, and they looked around, and they said, "Well, there's a lad here." And that lad thought, "Oh, that's right, I've got something I can do." When Jesus said, "Go into the city and you'll find a man walking down the street with a pitcher on his head, he's going to tell you where to prepare for the Lord's Supper at." In other words, they walked up to this guy and said, "The Lord has need of your house." And here's a guy saying, "Oh, I guess I was in the right place at the right time." And guess what? This morning you're sitting here and you're like me, probably saying, "What's going to happen to this country of ours? And what are we going to do in these last days?" And we're trying to think like the carnal-minded man, but why don't we stop and think like a spiritual man for a minute and realize God in His providence has left you here for such a time as this. And there's something He wants to use you and me to do. And if I will step up and say, "God, I'm ready to be used of You," then God will use me. Now here's the question in closing. Mordecai said these words. He says, "Who knoweth whether thou hast come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And that's my question this morning. Who in this room today, you realize that the reason you made it to 80 years old is God has you here for such a time as this? The reason you have some extra money right now in these days in which we're living when everybody else don't is God wants to use you for such a time as this. Recognize that providence has engineered some things and placed you right where you are. You're going through what you're going through for a specific reason, and God has a purpose behind it, and say, "I'm going to recognize it, and I'm going to make myself available to the Lord, because He makes no mistakes." Do you agree with that? I believe God makes no mistakes at all. And when I look at my life and I see things going on, then I have to stop and say, "God engineered this, and I want to get in on what God's doing." Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll use what's been said this morning. Lord, I've shot a lot of buckshot in just a few minutes, but I trust that the pellet will land where it needs to land. And God, You know Victory Baptist Press this morning has a need for paper. And Lord, I know with all my heart when I take them money back for paper, it goes to buy paper, and I know that paper gets printed and turned into Bibles, and there's no money made off of it, and those missionaries have their needs met. And Lord, I pray that we'd all recognize as we sit around and complain about the politics and the world that's going to hell in a handbasket, well, we recognize that, you know, it's not by chance that God left us here for such a time as this. And it's best that we try to see what He wants to use us to do, whether it be pack some shoeboxes for people we'll never know, or whether it means to buy some paper, or to invest in some fashion, or maybe just to get faithful in giving our tithes to our church and supporting the missionaries that our church already supports. God, You placed Dee and I in a great church in Milton, Florida. We have a great pastor and a great ministry, and And I realize you didn't put us there just for us to soak and sour and just to ride out our time. There's a reason for it. And there's a reason for these people being here at this church and this pastor being here where he's at. And may we just search the mind of Providence and say, God, what is it you would have me to do? And let me know in my mind and heart and be clear about the matter and be faithful and be a good steward. And such a joy to see things, Lord, that you use us for in spite of who we are. Give the preacher here wisdom this morning. Use the message in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.